No Walsh, no problem. Tinker Taylor Serena Vegan has always got a plan. I'm Rachel.
I'm Sophie.
And this is G'day from GOTB. So given the success of our podcast record in the airport where we were interrupted every 2 seconds, it seemed like a great idea to take the mic with us out for breakfast.
It did. We are in a cafe, and given that brunch is our favourite meal of the day, we thought we'd bring you along with us.
So we arrived in Adelaide yesterday morning. We flew from Brisbane, I think that's right. Quite a nice like country vibe feel to this town. Good vibes from the get-go. You've been here before, haven't you?
I have. I've been here about, again, 13 years ago. And I found the country bar that I went to all that time ago. And I'm determined to take Rachel tonight because it's country music. I love country music. But also, it's probably going to be absolutely shit. But, you know, I have good memories, so I'll take her there and give her the experience.
There's another reason you want to take me to it.
There is a Bucking Bronco, and I'm determined to get you on the Bucking Bronco.
She is, so that could be interesting, and we will video it if I do end up on a Bucking Bronco and put it on our socials, so make sure you stay tuned. It's been a little while since we recorded. I think I was mildly scarred from editing that last podcast in an airport, but quick look back. We were, of course, on the way to Brisbane when that happened, and since then we had Sweden trashing Italy 5-0. We then went to the France-Brazil game, which was an incredible carnival of fun.
Pure vibes, just fun. We got in the fan march, in the Brazilian fan march. They were just having a party. I need to learn how to dance. That was my main takeaway from that. The game was absolutely wild in terms of its transitional nature. France came out on top, but yeah, it was a bit like tennis at one point in that game. It was going end to end, and I didn't really know where to look.
Yeah, it was quite an enjoyable one to do when you didn't have like any particular connection to either of the team. You just got to enjoy the football. Oh, here comes our lovely food. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Right, well, that was delicious. What did I have? I had poached eggs, mushrooms. There was halloumi, there was hummus, there was all sorts on the plate. Ciabatta bread. You went pretty boring, self, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I just had toast and jam. You did go on a chicken nugget run at about 2 in the morning. So I'm still a bit full from that because I didn't actually eat them when you ate them. I ate them about an hour later. So
yeah, we were both quite stressed last night with our various bits of work we had to do. Anyway, where were we? We had done the France and Brazil game. Both really enjoyed that one. then we also had Jamaica beating Panama 1-0, keeping that group very exciting. Next day we had South Korea, Morocco, which was Morocco winning 1-0, getting their first win, so that was fantastic. Norway then trashed the Philippines 6-0. Switzerland, New Zealand played out quite a boring draw. And, I mean, game of that round was Colombia beating Germany 2-1 in dramatic fashion. Linda Caicedo with one of the goals of the tournament. The skill and confidence that girl has is incredible, the way she danced around the German midfielders. And then we watched the last kind of 5-10 minutes in the back of an Uber, and we were all very excited.
Yeah, the driver didn't quite know what to do with us, so it started screaming. And then when Vanegast got the goal in injury time, it was absolutely like wild. The scenes on the pitch were wild, the scenes in our Uber were wild too.
Yeah, we enjoyed that one. We'd spent the day in the fan zone where Irish fans had, you know, as part of an organised thing, had come down and kind of taken over the fan zone. So that was a really, really nice day. And then, of course, the next day we had Ireland's game, which was why we were in Brisbane. Before that, we had Japan beating Spain 4-0, which I think, not that we were surprised at. I mean, Japan have shown what they can do so far in this tournament, and I think this game was the game of the group to show what Japan and Spain were made of. They had something like 27% of possession, but the four goals were all such nice goals. Defending was poor, but my God, I was like one of those jaw-dropping kind of highlight reels to watch.
They did exactly to Spain what I thought other teams should be doing to Spain. They absorbed the pressure of their kind of Spanish possession. I think, can't remember the stat, but Spain had a ridiculous number of passes, as you probably, something like 800 passes, should probably expect. But Japan just hit them where it hurt when they needed to, and the goals were quality, as you said, and they are a frightening team. I think Emma Hayes said they were the ones to look out for before the tournament. And I was always a bit, like, I know what they're doing and how they're building, But I thought maybe this tournament was a bit too soon for them, just because they're quite young and it's a new phase of their journey. But there's no doubting the sort of talent involved in it, and you know, to come out 4-0 victory is a big statement win.
Of course, Japan have won the World Cup before, and we're in the 2015 final. England, I think, beat them in the 2019 game. I feel like they've been going through quite a long transitional period, and we've just kind of been waiting for them to find their feet again, find the right players again. And I feel like this is the team where they're going to take on the world stage again, and we should all be very concerned.
When you look at England's game against them in November in Spain, yes, it was a friendly, but England tore them apart with not their first team on the pitch. So, I think it was that's where my like sort of concern around Japan came in, just because they didn't look quite up to speed then, but they've come on so far in that last 6 months. They're quite incredible.
At the same time, we also saw Zambia beating Costa Rica 3-1. Delighted for them to get a win in the group as well. And then at the same time, as Republic of Ireland and Nigeria played out quite a dull, I'm not going to lie, 0-0 draw, Australia were just tearing up the script in Melbourne, absolutely trouncing Canada. Not that it was a huge surprise, but it was a big, tall order for the Australians. They had a lot of pressure on their backs. They were going in against the Olympic gold medal champions, which we've been saying. I know Canada have not had a good tournament so far, but it was a lot for the Australians to have to deal with, and my God, they did it.
They did. I mean, that Canadian defence, though. They just kind of stood still. So as good as Australia were, and it's great the energy that they brought, and they really did bring it in Melbourne. But Canadian defence, for a team that is known for its kind of solidity and strength and you know, ability in the back line to keep things narrow, they just fell apart. They were ball watching for most of the game, and I think they are now the only, well, it could change tonight, but at the moment they're the only top 10 team to drop out of the competition at the group stage, and that is quite a feat in a bad way, and there's going to be some serious questions to be asked about them, because there's a lot going on in the federation, but I think there's something deeper worry, I guess, for Canada football at the moment in terms of how they rebuild from this.
Well, this is the thing, if a team needs to be worrying about things like this on the pitch, what they don't need to be worrying about is all the shit going on off the pitch, and Canada have had a lot of shit to be dealing with off the pitch. So, you know, like one of many teams, they haven't come in with the best preparation, and that showed on the pitch. You know, so I think some teams have taken that and it's galvanised them, and they've come out and said, you know what, we're going to do it in spite of you. And we've seen that with some of the, you know, Nigeria, we've seen that with Jamaica. You know, they're coming out and they're saying to their federations, look what we can do in spite of you. And I feel like Canada have struggled to maybe do that. And it's, you know, it's a shame to see. And probably the last time we'll see Christine Sinclair as well, which is really sad.
A really sad way to say goodbye to her, because what she's done for the sport, you know, she's still the record goal scorer and all-time cap holder, I think, as well. I might be wrong about that, but she's, you know, she's been around so long. And just for her to crash out the stage without barely making a mark on the tournament is just a sad way to end.
The following day, which was when we'd arrived in Adelaide, God, I'm trying to keep up with our schedule, and the Netherlands came out and just demolished Vietnam. Some, like, we keep talking about beautiful goals, but Brooks, two goals. She hasn't scored in a World Cup before. She didn't just score two goals. She scored two absolute beautiful worldies. And her reaction to the first one, it was almost like she was shocked. Not that she'd done it, but that she'd done it and on the world stage. And then she went and kind of did it again. And 7-0, got seven goals. But did you see those two goals from her?
I really regret. I wrote an article for The Guardian about the 10 breakout stars at the tournament. And I really regret not including Esme Brooks. Not because I think she's unbelievable, but I think because we knew about her before and, you know, what she could do. I was trying to struggle with whether she was breakout, and she hadn't scored a goal yet this competition, I don't think. So I picked someone else. But yeah, really regretting that choice now.
Yeah, well, it looks like she took that personally, Sophie. At the same time, we had Portugal against the United States. The US have struggled in this tournament, struggled to kind of find their rhythm, find their identity again. You know, a lot of new faces. So maybe we kind of expected that a little bit from the US. And the pressure was on. You know, they had to get a result in this game to go through. They needed to win to top the group, I believe, or would have needed a lot more goals. But with the Netherlands just banging them in another Australian city at the same time, I felt like the pressure was mounting on them during the game. And my God, it came close right at the end. Now, Portugal didn't do well with shots on target, but in the dying minutes, a header onto the post, that's how close the US came to going out.
And how close Portugal came to going through. Like, first World Cup, and you're literally the width of a post away from progressing to the knockout stages against the USA as well. Portugal did unbelievably. The USA, as you said, Rach, they lack identity under Vatka and Novsky. I don't think he really knows what he's doing with his players. And there's like this weird mix between the old and the new, and it's just not quite blending together. Sophia Smith is one of the most talented youngsters on the planet, and she struggles against Portugal yesterday. I think there's a lot of questions around this USA side at the moment, and they're going to probably play Sweden next, which is a pretty big battle.
So excited for that one. We have tickets for that and I cannot wait. That is, of course, if Sweden top the group and they play today, but we will get to that, because then last night we had China against England and Denmark against Haiti at the same time, and we, of course, in Adelaide for the China-England game. And when the lineup came out, safe to say we were all a bit confused, trying to work out who was going where. There were players in that we thought, if they're in, how are they in as well? And my God, it worked.
Can I just say, I went three at the back. Immediately as I saw the lineup, I was like, that's three at the back. And people were questioning me, because we had this massive debate beforehand around the press area about what it was going to look like, whether it's going to be 4-4-2 or three at the back or some other weird and wonderful combination. But no, I picked it right, so I'll take that one.
I also called before the game that they'd go with a double pivot to kind of deal with the lack of Ciara Walsh, and that really worked quite well with Katie Zellum and Georgia Stanway dropping into that middle part.
It allowed Lauren James to do what Lauren James just did, which is absolutely insane. Like, two goals, three assists. She looked so... They all looked like they were having fun out there, but she was just given that freedom to roam in front of them, knowing that Katie Zellum and Georgia Stanway will cover her. And it's the exactly kind of thing that Lauren James needed to be able to thrive at this World Cup. And boy, is she doing that.
It was really interesting as well to see Hemp and Russo as a two up front. It kind of took the pressure off Russo, I thought. It allowed Lauren Hemp to be more direct. You know, often we feel like she gets all this speed and space and comes up the wing, and then, you know, maybe the finish isn't always there. And actually, it was really great to see her have that more direct impact on the game. She got a goal, Russo got a goal, LJ got two, as you said. One was ruled out, we were all raging about that. Chloe Kelly got on the score sheet and Rachel Daly got on the score sheet. So she did get her goal, even though she was playing technically in a left-back position, although it was kind of part of a four midfield as well.
I wrote about how a very predictable team, not that England don't play well, and they have done, but they have been predictable in the way that we know exactly what Serena Wiegmann's starting lineup was every single time last summer. We knew what her subs would be, probably when they would come on. So it's pretty like easy to hard to deal with, obviously, for other teams, and they struggled to work out how to beat England. But you always knew what was going to happen, and now we suddenly have this like maverick unpredictability on our hands, and it worked wonders. It was so wild. It was so fun. You could see the players were enjoying it. They had smiles on their faces. Serena high-fived her after the first goal. Did this massive like smile and high five with her assistant, Ian, and you could just see that everyone was just having so much joy by the fact that they found the system that allowed them to express themselves and build confidence. That's the main thing. Five goal scorers across the board. It was just a joyful night for England.
That's why she's now got the nickname from me as Tinker Taylor Serena Wiegmann. And I think it is a good point. A team that we considered unpredictable, as you say, not in the bad way, but the first team to ever play the same starting 11 in every game in the Euros. To now, I pity the opposition in terms of preparing for England. You know, England without Ciara Walsh, really bloody hard to predict. And I also pity you and the other journalists having to kind of predict what's going to come up next, because it's another different type of opposition in Nigeria.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she maybe sticks to that same formula, just because Nigeria are that sort of such a good on the counter-attack transitional team, and having that three at the back allows a bit of extra cover. Ireland did it pretty well against Nigeria, despite not having like maybe the finishing quality up front. But they did disrupt Nigeria's flow that had been so clear against Australia, who themselves are quite plan for attacking team. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they can do going forward with that.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, that three at the back to deal with a player like Ashuala, who got in a couple of times against Ireland. But overall, they managed to kind of keep her quiet. And I think England will need to do that because Nigeria are so fast.
There's a joy also in unpredictability. You could see it with China. They were so shell-shocked by what England were doing on the pitch. They literally, I don't think the manager had planned at all for this prospect. And after the second goal went in, the Chinese midfield and defence just sat so deep. And it completely isolated the striker up front. The gap between the striker and the midfield was so large that Millie Bright could just step in and do what she does. I think it did shell shock China a bit. They came out better in the second half. At the start of the second half, they kind of refigured themselves. I think there was a shot of the manager on the sideline at half time, and she had her tactical plans out, and she was in deep conversation about what the hell to do about this England team. And it did work, sort of. But yeah, it was a shock. So unpredictability is the key going forward.
I also feel like there's been a bit of unpredictability over the last few fixtures, which has been really fun. And I did say as well that Denmark had played Haiti at the same time. They won 2-0, so they've finished second in the group. And that shows that Scotty has predicted yet another group stage absolutely perfectly right.
No one is going to convince me that he isn't psychic.
Okay then. Moving forward, we have got Argentina, Sweden today, South Africa, Italy today, Panama, France, and Jamaica, Brazil, I'm so, so excited for. So there still are some groups. I'm pretty sure that Sweden group, there's still all to play for in that, still all to play for in the Jamaica-Brazil game. So by the end of tonight, we will know how two of those groups stand, which is super exciting. Tomorrow, we have got Morocco, Colombia, and South Korea, Germany. So another group to be decided. We are going to be getting on a train tomorrow, an 11-hour train from Adelaide to Melbourne, which we're very, very excited about. We will, of course, take you with us with that. So make sure you're following us across our socials as well. That is a wrap on another episode. Who knows where we record our next one from? We might even do it from a train. Greetings, guys. This is a little bit of an update from your fairy pod mother. We knew that this wasn't going to go out in time for the crazy results that happened yesterday, so we thought we'd give you a little bit of an update. We also wanted to give you a little bit of a flavour of what it's like being on a train from Adelaide to Melbourne for 11 hours. First off, we had Sweden beating Argentina, which was probably the least shock maybe of the day. And at the same time, we had South Africa, Italy. What happened?
South Africa won in injury time. It was very, very dramatic. We were watching it in the bar, and Italy had taken the lead, I think, but then South Africa came back, went 2-1 up, Italy equalised again, and then, yeah, South Africa popped up in injury time to get the winner and to go through to the next round.
Beautiful scenes. And then in the late kickoff, we had a draw and then a crazy match, both of which were exciting. Jamaica and Brazil ended 0-0, which means Brazil are out. Marta is done at the World Cup after 20 years. And again, emotional scenes for Jamaica going through the reggae girls. Very, very exciting. Three clean sheets for them in what was arguably one of the toughest groups.
Yeah, they got through it. A remarkable achievement. You could see by the celebrations of like Drew Spence and Becky Spencer and Bunny as well, Bunny Shaw, how much it meant to them that they've gone through, especially in that group with France and Brazil. I did not have Brazil going out at the group stage on my bingo card this year, so yeah, that was a big shock.
And also, like, really sad to see Marta go. We were lucky to see her briefly in the game against France. It was great to see her live in her last World Cup. And maybe we can talk later on her immeasurable impact on the women's game. But there's some lovely videos floating around, videos of her pre-match speaking about her legacy, videos of Bunny Shaw post-match speaking to her. And it was very moving. It was lovely to see. And at the same time, we had what sounded like an absolutely wild game. France beating Panama 6-3. Absolutely crazy scenes. And what was lovely was seeing Panama and how excited they were getting their goals. Like, even though they were losing, they were going out, they were doing something special.
It shows that football, it just showed that football's not always about the winning, you know. Panama, to be here, is a massive feat. And to get goals against France, it must, like, that's basically a massive platform for them to go home and continue their journey in women's football. Like, it was unlikely they were ever going to get out of the group, But yeah, to get to those goals and three against France, and the one that they took lead against France with the free kick is an absolute beauty.
And Diani with a double for France as well, wasn't it? So a lot of goals for France. I think they probably needed that, give them a bit of confidence going into the round of 16. So a couple more fixtures confirmed, and we know for a fact now that Sweden will be facing the USA. And that is all from your fairy pod mother. Quick update from us, and we will see you on the next pod.